This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd thank Aunt for the welcome to this country this morning, and acknowledge all Indigenous people that are here today. But I'd like to begin by making it clear that what I have to say this morning is going to be abbreviated. And this is because I only have 15 minutes in which to speak. So now I apologise from the outset if it seems that I am skimming over serious issues. I'm not. I'm in fact deeply interested in exploring the roles of museums in terms of Indigenous cultural education. Now, relationships between Indigenous peoples and museums nationally and internationally have never been easy because of the complex issues around the messaging embedded within exhibitions, as well as issues to do with ownership, custodianship and repatriation. And repatriation certainly arose once again with the Encounters exhibition. Now, when I was asked to comment on the matter of repatriation in the media, I chose to take a conciliatory role and approach, and in doing so, I undoubtedly surprised and maybe even possibly disappointed some of my own people. But I did so because, at a spiritual level, my emotions were more directly aligned with amazement and gratitude over and above any sense that I had to argue for the return of these items. I've always been told about these items since I was little, and I was absolutely floored when I actually saw them. It was like a surreal feeling for me. So I think, we all need to stop and think about the unsaleable fact that we're talking about cultural items that originate from a time in our history when we, the Indigenous peoples of this country, were the sovereign guardians of country. And to explain my position more clearly, I need to refer back to my childhood. I actually grew up on an Aboriginal reserve at La Perouse, which is on the northern arm of Botany Bay, directly opposite Kurnell, on the southern arm. And from this position, you can actually see the monument dedicated to James Cook and Forby Sutherland, which stand at Kurnell. And we're also in very close proximity to monuments dedicated to the British and the French as well on the outside of the bay. And it was the British and the French who arrived there in 1788, maybe weeks apart. So growing up surrounded by these monuments, I couldn't help but become conscious of the visibility and public primacy of our nation's European history, and as such, increasingly conscious of the invisibility and public inferiority of our own Indigenous history. And it is this chasm between being visible and being invisible that frames the core of an ongoing dichotomous relationship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australia. Now, this dichotomy is well and truly entrenched in the symbolic difference between recognising Cook's landing as the birthplace of modern Australia versus Cook's landing as the beginning of dispossession. Symbolism is important within our nation's cultural character, and if our nation and our national symbolism is to change so that we are no longer diametrically opposed over the fundamental polemic between birthplace and dispossession, we need to look for new positively affirming avenues to create a reconciled national imagery. Now, for me, the artefacts from Botany Bay are one such avenue. So rather than continuing to symbolise the polemic between birthplace and dispossession, these cultural items can be rewritten as symbolic of our nation's spiritual foundation. And this spiritual foundation may well be embedded within Indigenous knowing of country, but Indigenous knowing of country is surely meaningful to all of us as Australians, since it is our nation's true beginning. So we need to look at the way our nation's cultural institutions frame our national persona. Museums have a key role to play in maintaining or changing national persona, because museums have the ability to create predetermined pictures of who we are as a peoples. So museums can render Indigenous people invisible by exhibiting us as exotic peoples whose cultures are embedded in the past. Or they can render us visible by uncovering and explaining the ontological, epistemological, and axiological foundations of our spiritual systems of knowledge. So we need to ask ourselves, how do we create an experience for the museum visitor that moves beyond a shallow impression of our foundational way of life? And how do we impart a real sense of the spirit bedrock that embodies every inch of this country? So it's really only been in the last decade or so that museums have begun to change for the positive in terms of this. Now, the Encounters exhibition exemplifies this because it has sought to move beyond the exotic by enabling us to express and share our spiritual voice and presence. In many ways, this exhibition raises the question, what is the purpose of a museum? If we decide that a museum's primary role is to educate a nation about itself, we need to look at museums not as sites of entertainment and recreation, but as sites of cultural education. From an Indigenous standpoint, cultural education is important. It is well known that a vast majority of Indigenous peoples throughout the world have been systematically disenfranchised from mother tongue and mother culture through the deprivations of colonisation and paternalism. Therefore, cultural education is for us an urgent matter of cultural revival and survival. If we are to secure the revoicing of mother tongue again, and the re-practice of mother culture in our homes and communities, we need to explore every possible avenue of cultural reconnection with our foundational ways of life. Indigenous cultural items held within museum collections may well fulfil an aesthetic function in terms of exhibition, and undoubtedly any accompanying explanation gives more meaning to these items when they're exhibited. But for us, the Indigenous people of this country, these items are of immeasurable value because they carry a spirit context that we need to understand in order to understand ourselves. So, whether we agree or not with the custodial role museums have in terms of the Indigenous cultural items they have in their collections, we need to recognise also that museums are a potential partner for us in terms of the development of Indigenous cultural education programs. We Indigenous peoples need to be able to work with museums at a direct and primary level so that we are in touch rather than out of touch with the tangible cultural items that museums hold. Now, look, I'm not naive enough to think that we can't just brush aside, you know, the issues of ownership, custodianship, and repatriation. These are vital issues for us, but they are complex. And it isn't unreasonable to assert that cultural items held within museums may well have been taken without our forebears' consent. And it's equally isn't unreasonable to assert a right to repatriation either. We could, for instance, mount genuine arguments for the repatriation of the Botany Bay artefacts. But, you know, where will that land us in the end? We all know the process. It begins with years of contestation over who rightfully owns the shields and spears, followed by more years of negotiation to determine repatriation. And at the end of that, more time will go whilst we wrangle over local politics. You know, should these items, in other words, be returned to country? Whose country should they go to? Who is to be recognised as the rightful custodians of these items? And the list goes on. Now, meanwhile, whilst all of this is going on and we're busy working through these complex issues, another year passes. And with it, we lose yet more our senior knowledge holders. And as we lose these people, the possibility of strengthening the chain between us and our spirit ancestors is further broken. It is our senior knowledge holders that hold for us the best chance of being able to interpret the ontological context of cultural items held in museum collections. So when I look at these artefacts, I simply don't see a set of utility items. I see a shield and a spear that inspire me to think about the ceremonial processes of gaining the status to hold and use these items. And being close to these items brings me closer to our foundational context. They give me the spiritual impetus I need to think a bit more deeply about the spiritual heart of our countries. And they are tangible connections between our forebears and ourselves. So there is cultural emotion embedded in these items, and that's something that we need to experience at a very emotional level. I'm on to my last slide. Now, what I've said thus far really only snapshots what I'm thinking about in terms of Indigenous cultural education, so I'd like to see a situation develop where museums and Indigenous communities come together with the common purpose of enabling, you know, the future Indigenous and non-Indigenous generations of this country to learn about and experience their national heritage. And in closing, I'd just like to say that I hope I've inspired you a little bit to open up and to continue dialogue on the real purpose of a museum and the role we have as collection stakeholders. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Shane. We've got time now for a couple of Q&As. So Shane, if you could stay there. If you want to put your hand up if you've got any questions, and we'll walk the microphone up to you. Shane, I've got a question while we start to get people thinking. 2020 is the 250th anniversary of Cook's Landing, and it'll obviously be a significant event, an anniversary in this nation's history. How do you think it could be used to reinterpret that event and also to tell that story from an Indigenous voice?
Well, we need to, the nation needs to ensure that Indigenous peoples and cultures and our existence in this country is given equal status. In other words, we need to become visible again, not invisible. And, the way that we've been kept invisible is a deep, not just psychological, but an ideological process that we've been subjected to for decades upon decades. So we need to be given equal status as the owners of this country, and our true cultures, the ontological foundations, our epistemologies and our axiologies need to be brought to the fore again, not swept under the carpet.
Thanks, Shane. Any other questions? All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together again.
Thank you. Okay.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.